Recovery Radio, KMP3000 Oaks.
Ah, yes. You are listening to the Recovery Radio podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will be your host. You can email me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail. You can follow me on Instagram at sarcastic.aa.book. Visit my website, recoveryradiokmp3.com, and to get the books, go to sarcasticbigbook.com. And as always, I'm so glad you're here with me. If your day is just getting started, or it's just winding down, or it's somewhere right in the middle of the butt, here we are. You and me. And I am glad for that. Grateful I have no desire to drink today, and I do have a piping hot cup of French roast coffee here. Mixed with some Don Francisco's hazelnut, it is absolutely delicious. I guess today I'll talk about sponsorship, my experience with it currently. And my experience with it leading up to this. I started sponsoring people when I was pretty new. I'd gone through the steps pretty quickly. And I caught a lot of grief for that at the time. There were a lot of people around me giving me shit, looking at me sideways, for thinking that I could sponsor people so quickly. And my understanding of it was that it wasn't some responsibility that I was taking on. I wasn't responsible for anybody's sobriety. I was simply in a position to help explain the spiritual tools, to lay them at someone's feet for their inspection, to pick up or not. There's two times in the book that they use that exact phrasing. The first time is on page 25. Bottom of the first paragraph, when therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. And again on page 95. First paragraph, a little more than halfway through. Never talk down to an alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show them how they worked with you. Offer friendship and fellowship. So that was my understanding of it. I was nervous, of course, because I didn't really understand what the hell had been explained to me. I didn't really understand the steps. I mean, not at all like I do today, at least. And I didn't feel equipped to help anybody. But again, people looked at me like, who did I think I was? I always thought that was odd because the way it was explained to me was just what I read. Like, I'm not going to save anybody. And I'm not going to get anybody sober. And I'm not going to make anybody do this. And that was really hammered into me. I mean, I've shared about it on here before. I spent hundreds of hours with my sponsor. In my first 6 months of sobriety, and that was really, really driven home, that I was just a human power, and that if anybody was going to get sober, it was going to be because of God. It wasn't going to be because of me. And so that was what I started doing. I started laying out the kit of spiritual tools at people's feet and, you know, some of them did it and most of them didn't. And really nothing's changed too much, except that I can explain things probably clearer, but you know, if you read the chapter Working with Others, here's the things it says. It says, don't be offended if the person wants to call it off and not work with you. It says the person shouldn't be feeling like they're obligated to you, that they shouldn't be pushed or prodded in any way to do this, that if they want to do it a different way, encourage them to follow their own conscience, that if they don't want to do an inventory and read it to you, tell them that you probably wouldn't have gotten well without that, but be supportive of that. Let them know you're there. If they want to read their inventory to you and says, having had the experience of the steps yourself, you can give much practical advice. It says, never talk down to an alcoholic from a moral or spiritual hilltop. Just lay the kit of tools at their feet. And in terms of how to sponsor somebody, that's about it. I mean, there's a whole chapter. It just kind of repeats those things over and over again. A lot of what's in that chapter is kind of antiquated in terms of the discussion itself, because it was written before there was Al-Anon or a bunch of meetings we can go to. And so some of it is, you know, centered around those things, but those things aren't issues really today. Now, if you want to help somebody, you can just go to a meeting. You could go to a meeting right now on Zoom. I mean, they're constantly happening. So we have it made now, but it doesn't say anything else in terms of, there's nothing about have them call you, have them run everything past you. You're going to be in charge of them. You're going to have to look over how they do things, tell them what to do. And that happens a lot, but it's just not something that I do. I don't chase people. I do my best to match their willingness. But I don't feel responsible for their behavior or their sobriety, because I'm not. I'm not. I have some sponsees that have been real scamps over the years, real troublemakers. And there's times throughout the years where one of them will get into something and my phone will start blowing up as if I'm their father. But my understanding of how to sponsor people is as simple as that. I'm to lay the kit of tools at their feet and help them in any way I can. But in terms of trying to make people do this or force somebody to do this, or it's not my responsibility. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't do those things. It also says, you know, when you meet a new prospect, find out what you can about them. Basically talk to them. Learn about them. It says so that you'll get a better idea of how you ought to approach the situation. You know, if the tables were turned, you'll need this information. Put yourself in their place and think about if the tables were turned, and it's really beautiful. So I personally don't have like a set thing that I do with everybody. I talk to people who ask me to sponsor them, and I do my best to, you know, find out where they're at and do my best to find out what approach would work the best with them and where they're at in the steps and what, you know, there's just a bunch of stuff. And I don't know, not saying I'm great at this. Just this is how I do it. This is how it was done for me. And it really helped me. I mean, like I said, my sponsor spent a lot of time with me when I was new. But it's worth mentioning that I was eager. I was chasing him. He would tell me to do something and I would not fuck around. I would do it and then I would say, what's next? I've done it. Can we talk tomorrow? And so I did spend a lot of time with my sponsor initially. And he would say to me, you know, you're going to need sponsees more than you need me. What you need is God. You need a higher power. That's the point of all this. To get you in touch with a higher power that's going to solve your drink problem and ultimately will be able to solve all your problems. But the goal here is a conscious contact with a power greater than yourself, not me. My sponsor was really clear on that. And he died with 40 years of sobriety and plus. And of course, my grand sponsor died about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, with almost 60 years of sobriety. And there was a really simple message that was getting delivered to me. And then, of course, when I really got into the big book, when I was a few years sober, I really came to understand the things I'm sharing right now. That, you know, sponsoring isn't about running someone's life at all. Don't play God there. So I really try not to do that at all. I really try not to play God with my sponsees and just lay the kit of tools at their feet. Help you. I'll hear your inventory. I'll offer any advice that you seek as best I can. If I don't know the answer, I will. I'm not going to pretend that I do. I don't know. I'll lead you back to the book. I'll point you back to the book over and over and over again. That's kind of it. So it's kind of what it's like now too. I don't really think about my sponsees in any stressful way ever because it's just not my responsibility. They're not my responsibility. You know, I think about them because I have become friends with quite a bit of them and I love quite a bit of them and those relationships are special to me, but in terms of I wonder if they're doing the right thing or if they're doing that or they're getting through that and they're getting that accomplished or they're slacking off. I just don't have those thoughts about them. I don't. It's none of my business. So I'm just one ding ding ringing his bell. I don't know. That's my experience with this stuff. And that's it. I'll give a shout out today to Mallory. I'll give a shout out today to Wes and Ross and Katie and Taylor. I'll give a shout out to Richard, Tony, and Dr. Wu. And a special shout out to Chelsea and to Dave. If anybody needs to hear it, Everything is okay. I'm going to go. I got a pretty big modeling gig today for a product called Sexy Death Soda. And it's just Coke, basically, Coca-Cola. And the ad is going to have me wearing a terry cloth robe on a balcony overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Just looking beautiful. Just looking beautiful and drinking Sexy Death Soda. It's kind of edgy product. It's kind of indie. It's kind of alt. All right. I'm not funny at all. Waiter. Can you show me the emergency exit, please? Okay. Write to me, sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram, sarcastic.aa.book. Check out the new book, Cruel Truths, children's book for adults only. And make sure you get the Sarcastic Big Book. And I don't know why my life was saved, but I am going to go try to live a life that was worth saving. And I hope you'll do the same.